5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. I'm going to be at the Front Range Huddle tomorrow from the Blake Street Tavern in Denver. Yeah, it's where a lot of college football coaches go and a couple of players all kind of meet in one central location where the media can, you know, interview them, get them on different nightly news stations. Radio stations are going to be out there. And it should be a good time. I've always enjoyed it. I've done it, I think, every year for the past 4 or 5 years, save for the COVID year. This will be the first year CSU has not been a part of it, though, since I've been doing it. They won't be making the journey down. They claim that it was all about scheduling conflicts and stuff, but I do know there was some Twitter controversy going on back in March. So I've already said my stuff about that, so I'll make my peace with it. But it'll be fun either way. I have a good time. Coach McCaffrey will be down there. I believe we're getting him on the program. And maybe we'll talk a little Air Force. Troy Calhoun. Be kind of fun. I've never interviewed him before, though.
My dad's a big Air Force guy, and he's very excited about this
season. Oh, they're going to be really good this year,
He's going to the Air Force CU game down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and I think Air Force wins that game. I don't even think that's a hot take or anything. They have this running back, senior Brad Roberts, first team all Mountain West preseason recognition back in July. He's the nation's active leader in rushing yards per game, averaging 106.6 yards per contest. Now, again, you have to always take rushing numbers kind of with a grain of salt when you're looking at Air Force, because they run it 98% of the time. And that's really not even an exaggeration. That's just when they do throw it, everyone's so shocked. There's a good chance that somebody's just going to be wide open. It's weird with Air Force, though, because you see their quarterback and you go, he can make throws. Whoever it is, there's been guys that have gone on to do pretty good things for them, but that's just the philosophy. That's what Air Force is about. So they do not play this weekend, though. You have a few Mountain West teams, Wyoming and Illinois, Idaho State taking on UNLV, UConn taking on Utah State, and then Nevada playing New Mexico State, Vanderbilt plays Hawaii. Remember, CSU lost to Vanderbilt last year. They were winning, too. Like right when I got there a little late. I think Tanner and I went. And it was the Orange Out game. And they were I think they were winning 14-0, and then all hell broke loose after that. Is that right? Maybe not. But the first half, everybody's like, yeah, we're doing it. And, no, we're not. This kind of sucks. And then just the rest of the Canvas Stadium's just cheering for Ryan Stonehouse to punt the ball. Because he was good to. I was like, dude, it's awesome that he can punt so well, but it's really sad that this is like the highlight. And that used to be the way it was when I went to CU games, when Mason Crosby was there, who's the Packers kicker. You'd go to those games, and it was so bad, but they'd just be chanting, Crosby, Crosby. It's like, we don't want to score, man. We want to see this guy boot it from like 58 yards and just see what happens. Those are great days. Great days when your kicker is like the main dude. All right, Angel, let's get to it, my friend. Today in the National Football League, the Steelers. Mike Pritchard's talking about the Steelers, and he's thinking maybe the Steelers could be okay this year, maybe next year, kind of building it this year into next year. They got to figure out the quarterback situation, though, right? They got the final game of their 2022 preseason. Several position battles open for the Steelers, including the quarterback battle. Mitchell Trubisky kind of leading it right now. He's leading it as far as being the week one starter. But Kenny Pickett, who they drafted, kind of making a surge. Mason Rudolph actually has had a good showing in camp. And so Tomlin said a lot of spots are going to come down to this week. This work is weighted differently and appropriately so. In the stadium, work is significant and increasingly so with the more stadium exposure you get. So make no mistake, this is a significant game for a lot of people. Bet on the Steelers if you do bet on preseason football this week, because they're going to be playing dudes that are competing for real positions, not third string, fourth string. Who do you think it's going to be? Does Trubisky revive his short career so far?
I don't know. I know Tanner likes Mitch Trubisky a lot.
Loves Trubisky.
They'll start him week one, he throws one pick and Pickett's in.
And then Pickett's in.
Start the Pickett fence.
Start it up, man. Oh, boy. This is going to be interesting. It's coming down to the preseason finale. I mean, and there are three legitimate dudes. Like, Rudolph, is Rudolph even really in this? But
He's been there. He's been in Pittsburgh for a while.
Well, yeah, but you read reports, and it's like he could still surprise. I mean, I don't think he could make that big of a leap, but if Trubisky comes out and is awful and Pickett comes out and is awful, then Rudolph comes in third string and looks good. Do you scrap your entire thing? I don't know, man. It's weird. Saints punter hit with a random drug test request by the NFL after he unleashed an 81-yard preseason punt. Get that guy in. Get him in. Blake Gillikin smashed an 81-yard punt during New Orleans' 20-10 loss to Green Bay on Friday night. Someone at NFL headquarters took notice, and 36 hours after the kick, he got a random drug test. Man, that punter is juicing. Let's get him in.
What has happened to our game?
I don't. I mean, it's a punter. Let him do whatever he needs to do, man. Don't test the
punters.
How much
of a difference is that going to make in kicking?
I mean, what's the average punt? Like in the NFL? What is it? Maybe see if you can find that while you're looking. Brett Favre thinks the 49ers are making a mistake at quarterback by going with Trey Lance over Jimmy G. Interesting. He was talking about it the other day on an interview with the 33rdteam.com. He said, my personal opinion, I would go with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not as flashy, not near as flashy. He wasn't their first round pick, and no offense toward Trey Lance, but what Jimmy has done is win and win and win and win again. Not flashy, so it's not the glamorous pick, but my goodness, the guy has won and put the 49ers in position to compete for the Super Bowl year in and year out and deserves the right to keep playing. It is interesting, though. Because the Niners are kind of always in the thick of it since they got Jimmy G. They have been. We forget about him because he's not lighting it up at the quarterback position. But the 49ers are still kind of there every single year since Jimmy G's been a part of this team and fully healthy.
No, it's definitely one of the most interesting quarterback situations. And as we get closer to the season, is Jimmy going to find a team?
That's the other.
Or is he just stuck there?
He's a good quarterback. I mean, I don't want to say good.
He's solid.
He's solid. Good enough to be starting for a team that has, dare I say, no, I'm not even going to say it. Drew Locke is the starter. I'm not even going there. Not touching
it.
Yes.
Alone.
Leave him alone.
Please.
Friday's a big game for Drew. Friday's a monster game.
Huge career game.
Biggest game I've ever talked about on this station. Very excited about it. You know what I'm excited about is Clay Millen yesterday. And I don't know his dad, but his dad is Hugh Millen. He played in the NFL for several teams. And he talked about, he does talk radio. He does Seattle talk radio. So we're going to get Hugh on at some point. Maybe we can get him on Friday. Let's make that happen and talk. We'll talk a little Clay Millen. We'll talk a little Drew Locke. Who would win right now, Clay Millen or Drew Locke? Clay Millen going to beat him out as a redshirt freshman?
Maybe in a rap battle. I don't know about throwing the ball. I haven't seen a lot of play yet.
Were you surprised? Tanner was commenting on this in Good Morning NoCo at how young Clay Millen just looks.
Well, you can look as young as you want when you're 6'3" or whatever he is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? Well, it's just interesting because, you know, last year we had Elson Hubbard and Scott Patchen for our football guys, for CSU football guys. And both of those guys have been around for a while. Scott Patchen's played college football for like 6 years. Ellison Hubbard, same boat. So these guys are in their, you know, mid-20s. And they're D-linemen. D-linemen, big dudes like that, typically look, would you say, on average, 5 to 10 years older than they really are?
Sure.
Yeah, Scott looked a lot older than 24, 25. So then you go to transition to Clay Millen, who looks very young. Absolutely. So it's hard. I mean, again, he's tall and can launch the football and everything. Where's John Owen? I mean, he's tall. He's a baby face, man. I mean, he's a young kid. But I'm excited for him, man, and I'm pumped for the Clay Millen show. Clay was on yesterday, and I thought this was an interesting tidbit. So before he goes to Nevada, he had a lot of suitors, man. Arizona was one of them. The Buffs, that was kind of where he was thinking of landing. He wanted to be in Boulder at that point. That was kind of where the decision was coming down. Here's Clay talking about how close he was to being a Colorado Buffalo before being a member of the Nevada Wolfpack.
Yeah, you know, once I decommitted from Arizona, I thought that, honestly, that's where I was going. Like, I thought I was totally locked. My mom thought I was locked. My family thought I was locked. My mom actually bought me a ton of CU gear for signing day, and we were all set on CU. We were kind of telling my family, like, hey, Clay's going to be going to CU because my cousin goes there. And I thought it was a total lock and everything. I thought I was for sure going to be going there, and then I kind of just thought about it. I talked with my dad, and you know, I took a lot of my self time and thought it over myself. Went down to Reno as much as I could with COVID because we couldn't
check
out the facilities and stuff. It was a really weird time. And I just kind of thought it over a lot over the weekend. And at the end of the day, you know, I pulled me to Reno, and it was kind of like a last minute decision, and that's where I wanted to go.
Went to Reno, and now he's in Colorado State. It was a no brainer for Clay Millen once he said that they all saw the news of Jay Norvell via Twitter and stuff. And it wasn't that Jay wasn't trying to beat him to the punch, but that's how we are now. Things move faster than even the coaches know. But he knew he was going to go to CSU pretty much once that announcement was made. What was the average punt? Did you figure that out?
46.2 yards.
Okay, so maybe he's...
Maybe juice it just a bit. Just maybe, doubled your punt.
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe he's juicing a little bit, man. You know, just the right leg, you know, or the left. I don't know. Is he righty or lefty? I'm not sure. There's that old philosophy, though, like in baseball, you know, with the home run derby back in the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire days. Like, that was one of the best times to watch baseball. So then the argument's like, do you just let him? just let him do it.
I mean, it's going to be a fair catch anyway. You might as well just let him go.
Probably safer. This guy putting his own health in harm's way to take steroids is probably safer that way, because now it's going to be fair catches and, you know, probably out of bounds and all this stuff if he's launching it. Okay, so that's quite a bit further than the average punt. Wow. Crazy. 17 minutes after the hour, the Wyoming Cowboys are in action this week. It's 0 week, but the games absolutely matter. Wyoming playing Illinois this weekend. Can the Cowboys get off to a good start? Will all the transfers leaving the program really rear their ugly head? Do we know the quarterback situation? We'll talk to Cody Tucker about it from 7220sports.com in just a moment. But first, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Well, now this is the one guest that I always look at my producer and I'm like, what kind of music are you coming in with, man? Because we got Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider, but also a big music guy, but a very particular music guy. Cody, my man, how are you, dude?
I'm great, and I will always take an entrance to Black Sabbath. Always.
Yes.
Always, always.
I think Angel is 2-0. 2-0 right now. He's been here 2 weeks with my show, and so far, so good. I think we're off to a great start in this relationship.
Yep, attaboy, Angel. I like it, man. I also accept Hatebreed, Slayer, all that good stuff.
All right, I can see Angel's brain turning right now, man. He is making mental notes. In fact, not even mental notes. He's writing them down. I can see. Dang, dude. He doesn't even do that for me when I tell him stuff. I don't see him write anything down. We're supposed to have the good idea book. Every time I look at it, it's blank, and I know I've come up with at least several ideas. Cody, my man.
My good idea book is non-existent.
All right, what about for the Wyoming Cowboys? Have they had enough good ideas to lead them into this game coming up this weekend against Illinois? Can they start things off on the right foot and get a W?
Boy, you know, they're just super young, and I'm actually standing here in the High Altitude Performance Center right off of War Memorial Stadium as we speak. Craig Bull just spoke to the media and emphasized that they are very young. They are the third youngest team in the FBS. Only Hawaii and Nevada are younger, so... And also, you know, can't help but can't help but point this out. Sebastian Harsh, a defensive end that Craig Bohl's been really excited about, was injured during practice this week, and he will not be available for Illinois. And the same goes for backup running back DeWine McNeely, who had some really good moments last year. So the injury bug's biting a little bit. Gunnar Gentry, of course, out for the year with a knee injury. Buck Coors out for the year. T.J. Urban, the Air Force transfer, he's out for the year. So a lot of that of late, which is never good for a young team that's heading into Big Ten country.
No, and when I was reading your stuff, I think, was it to start last week or maybe the week before, maybe the injury bug hadn't taken hold just yet, but those are some significant losses that you just listed there for the Cowboys going forward.
Yeah, Sebastian Harsh is really the big one, because Craig Bohl just absolutely raved about this kid. He's a sophomore out of Scotts Bluff. He's a guy who should have been a recruit, should have been an absolute scholarship guy, maybe let the grades slip a little bit. Cowboys stuck with him. He proved it in the classroom, and now he was actually starting to prove it on the field. So Cowboys are very, very thin at the defensive end spot. They have 0 sacks returning and 12 tackles
last
year's team. So, but on the flip side, maybe it's an exciting thing, Brady, where these new household names are going to start to emerge, and what better time than now to just get the future going at Illinois?
Yeah, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, and as you said, some significant losses there, especially when it's a team that, as you told us, and we've dissected over the years with Wyoming, it's a team that believes in running the football and playing outstanding defense, and they produce some phenomenal defensive players, whether they're going to the next level or they're just great for their college career. So when that's kind of your bread and butter is, hey, you know what, we might not light up the scoreboard every single weekend, but we are going to stop teams, certainly some significant losses.
Yeah, and that's still the plan, and it all revolves around Easton Gibbs, the middle linebacker who's moving over from the weak side and taking over for Chad Muma. A lot of people feel like he's just falling in line, and the next guy behind Logan Wilson and Chad Muma, a really special talent, and everything's going to revolve around him. Also, at the corner spot, the first depth chart was released today. There's a lot of and-ors on that bad boy, because it's just, you know, the competition's been unbelievable. So, Ja'Cory Hawkins, a cornerback out of Ole Miss transfer, and then Deron Harrell, a Denver native who spent his first 4 years at Wisconsin. Those guys have really impressed. Jay Sauvelle, the defensive coordinator, really loves the young secondary. Wyatt Eckler, of course, from your neck of the woods, really likes him. He's one of those and-or guys as well. Isaac White, a kid out of Pennsylvania, he's been, you know, Jay Sauvelle didn't mince words. He was the best safety the Cowboys had last year, and the Cowboys had 2 seniors in that secondary, so that's saying a lot about him. So the interior guys, Cole Goodbow and Jordan Bertinolli, they're going to be studs in there, but you have to believe Illinois is going to attack the edges with all the youth and inexperience there on the edge with, and Sebastian Harsh, let's be real, he's been great in camp, but he still hasn't done it on the field yet either. So it's all been unproven, but now the depth just took a huge hit. And as well as Keelan Cox, the Alabama transfer who fractured his hip about 3 weeks ago, he's another guy who's on the shelf and, you know, could really add some depth. And, you know, when I first looked at Keelan Cox, he's all of 6'4", 240, and my first thought was, that's what a walk-on at the University of Alabama looks like.
Insanity, right?
Yeah. Dude looks the part. So, and the Cowboys can sure use him this weekend.
So, Cody, when you hear Craig Bohl talk about, you know, hey, we're really young and all that stuff, is that, you know, not to press the panic button or anything, but is that where, if you're reading between the lines going, maybe he doesn't feel that confident to start this season, or is that too far?
I'd say it's too far, honestly, Brady. He did mention that, but he also mentioned the fact that, you know, we're young, but I'm excited about this group, and he keeps saying the word greatness. He keeps saying, I see greatness in this young group, and, you know, it's just unproven, and nobody would know better than him who's watched these guys day in and day out when the media can't, and, you know, he's really excited about some of these young guys, and like you mentioned earlier, the Cowboys' formula is no secret. They're going to run the ball, and Titus Wynn is a special, special running back. So if this young offensive line can gel and get some movement up front, which we saw, you know, I keep comparing this to 2019 when Missouri came to town and everybody thought, oh, my God, the Cowboys' offensive line is just a mishmash of dudes we've never heard of, and who is the Savion Valladay guy? And all they did was absolutely punish Missouri's front and run for 300-plus yards and run away with the game. So not saying that's going to happen in Illinois, but I'm saying we've seen it here before, and those guys became household names overnight. And I think that's the excitement for everybody here, is that these young guys are going to be those new household names. And unfortunately, in the era of transfer portal, you can't also help but think, you know, are they going to be here for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
And I hate thinking that, but I mean, you can't help it.
No question. I mean, you're always looking over your shoulder now. That's just the nature of this beast. It is a difficult thing. But you mentioned that stud running back, Titus Wynn, and what we can expect from this guy. He's going to be one of those players that we're going to see a lot. He's going to get a lot of carries, no question about it. But how do you think he'll handle that, kind of knowing that if you're scouting this team, I mean, that's number one. That's the guy you're putting up there. If you're Illinois thinking, hey, this is the guy we have to slow down. We may not be able to shut him down completely, but we have to find a way to slow him down.
Well, I mean, Brady, that's what everybody who's faced Craig Bowles' Cowboys have ever thought is, you know, if we stop that guy, you know, I think back to Brian Hill.
The quarterback
play was so poor back then, and there was no doubt who was getting the ball, and all he did was shatter Wyoming's all-time record in 3 seasons. And they knew, it was no secret, Brian Hill is going to pound you 35-plus times today, stop him, and they couldn't. So that's always going to be... You know, you talk to Jay Norvell, that's the first thing he's going to say when it comes to facing Wyoming is, we got to stop Titus Wynn. You know, good luck. And maybe I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, Brady, but I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever if you're talking first team All Mountain West running back this year when the dust settles. I mean, the guy's just that special, and they're really excited about this offensive line too. But you know, they're just not proven. And the same thing happened before they played Missouri, and they absolutely punished those guys. And you know, so it gives you a little hope, I guess, that, you know, they know how to find offensive linemen around here. So, yeah, we haven't seen them play, but you got to have a little bit of faith. If you're going to have any faith in anything, you got to have a little faith that they're going to find themselves a running back and a really talented offensive line.
I think that's a great point, too. When you have a history of being able to plug in offensive linemen, you do kind of have to, as you said, I mean, you don't get to see practice every single day. The coaches are telling you, but when they have a history of this, you do kind of want to take them at their word, and we'll just kind of see what it's like in the next couple of weeks. How confident are we in this quarterback situation going into the weekend?
Well, when we got the depth chart, it has a big fat TBA next to it. I would say it's the worst kept secret on planet Earth. Andrew Peasley has got to be the guy. I mean, he has 19 career starts, or not starts, but 19 career appearances in the FBS with Utah State. Nobody else on this roster has a snap in FBS. So you feel like going into Big Ten country, you've got to have Peasley. And you know, it was kind of awkward, Brady. I just asked for Andrew Peasley to interview him today, and that, you know, I fully expected. I even pre-wrote a story about how he was named the starter, and of course Craig comes out with the TBA just like Brett Bielema did yesterday for Illinois, and next thing you know, I don't have any questions for Mr. Andrew Peasley, and I look like a complete fool.
Oh, dude, no, I'll tell you what. No, I don't think so. I think you recover better than anybody in this industry.
That's
right. So Illinois, they have quarterback questions too. I love football so much for this. We don't know half the players to build the hype around. That's what I like. Yeah. I will say CSU, I knew it was Clay, even if they didn't tell me yet, because we're working with Clay, so he can do it. He's paid to tell us now, so it's fantastic. It's like, that's the way you get, if you can get the real scoop. You just pay him. I don't know if that's legal, but we're doing it.
That's all it takes, man. I just don't know which quarterback to pay yet.
We don't know. We got a whole bunch of unknown quarterbacks situation going on this weekend. Or like you said, maybe the worst worst kept secret in college football. Is that the same case for Illinois?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think it is. They got a Syracuse quarterback, a transfer, Tommy DeVito. He's a guy who has a lot of starts under his belt as well. Art Sikowski is a guy who actually helped lead the Illini. And for your listeners, I'm sure they remember this one. They went into 9 overtimes last year with number 7 Penn State, and they pulled off the win in Happy Valley. Just, you know, both of these guys have experience, you know, but looking at them and trying to break down both of them, neither one of them are fleet of foot. So I think that's one thing you can cancel out right away. And, you know, we're half joking around here that maybe the Cowboys don't have a quarterback at all, and they're just going to, Titus Wynn's just going to take the snaps and go.
A little wildcat action there going on in Wyoming?
Yeah, it's a bold strategy to not have a quarterback heading into Illinois.
Hey, you know what? I've seen maybe not. I think I've seen stranger things at some point, but I don't know, man. So, all right, all this stuff being said, we know they're going to have a stud running back for sure. And again, based on history, they should be able to reload with this offensive line. There's still some key players on the defensive side of the ball. How are we feeling about this weekend, man? Do you think that the Cowboys can start this thing off on the right foot? And if so, any idea of a score?
Yeah, so here's the deal, and this is what it's always been, right? I always compare this Wyoming team under Craig Bohl to the Broncos of the late 90s. You know, you have Terrell Davis, he's going to run like crazy. You're not asking John Elway to do a whole hell of a lot. And when he is doing stuff, it should be wide open because of how effective your running game is. And that's what the Cowboys have been looking for all these years. And I think Andrew Peasley's a guy. If you get up in the 67, 68% completion percentage, you're talking, you know, hitting 12 of 15 passes. That's going to keep some teams off balance, and that you're going to score some points, and you're going to really do some damage in the running game. So I know that's what they're looking for. Just haven't seen it. Haven't had quarterbacks that have had that completion percentage at all around here. Even Josh Allen didn't. So, you know, that's been tough. But if the Cowboys can figure that out, you know, I don't know if they're going to win this game. I'm not picking them to win this game, but they're also 10-point dogs, and I don't feel like, you know, I feel like this is going to be in that realm somewhere. I don't think we're talking about an ugly loss or anything like that. I think you're talking about a confidence builder that you come into your home opener the next Saturday and you feel pretty good about, hey, that young team just went into Illinois, which I know Illinois is not a, you know, Big Ten power by any means, but they went on the road into Big Ten country and they held their own and they played well. And this team's so young that I don't think that they're going to let anything affect them. I don't think they know better. So that's kind of exciting. It really is. I don't think anybody's expecting them to win it, but hey, Brady, if they win it, my jaw wouldn't hit the floor. That's for sure.
No question.
Who knows?
Well, and if you can keep this game kind of the way you want to play it, and I was looking, the over-under's 44. So I mean, I can't imagine a lot of points being scored. And again, I don't know a lot about Illinois at this point, but I can't imagine a lot of points. So if you're Wyoming and you can keep this thing down and keep it close and manage the clock, then who knows? Maybe you give yourself a chance at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think my final score prediction was something around the 27-21. Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are always going to like their chances if they can hold the other team and they can score. Just score a few. You know, you don't got to go lights out. Just score and hang and play good defense and run the football and manage the clock like they're known to do. So, you know, I was just talking to offensive coordinator Tim Polasek. It's just such a world of unknowns, and it always is in 0 week, right? But now, even Brett Bielema was saying yesterday, I've had to watch Wyoming's corners play at Wisconsin and play at Ole Miss and watch those videos to see what they're going to look like in Wyoming's scheme. I mean, with the era of the transfer portal, it's a whole new ballgame, and these guys really don't know what they're going to see, but they nowadays they really don't know what to prepare for because there's just so many new faces and so many guys moving around.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Cody, I know you're going to have a bunch of pregame stuff for us leading up to this game. It is officially game week, at least for five Mountain West teams.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking forward to some of those games as well. But those Cowboys specifically, I know you'll have a lot of great insight for us throughout the week.
Yeah, I'm just glad I'll be done in time to get to that Vanderbilt-Hawaii game. I've been really looking forward to that one. I've had that one circled. So really excited for Big Bad Vandy to go into the Hawaiian Islands on Saturday.
8:30 on CBS, too. I mean, look at that slate, man. Look at that slate for the Mountain West. They're going to dominate. Nevada, New Mexico State, ESPN2. Yes, you will have plenty of time to get back for that one. UConn, Utah State, Idaho State, UNLV. I mean, yeah, this is a Mountain West kind of weekend.
Yeah, excited, man. I'm excited for 0 week, and it gives the Cowboys 2 bye weeks, which I think is not a bad thing for a young team either.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I've got that Hawaii game. I always circle Hawaii games. It's just so much fun. Cody, my man, appreciate you so much, dude, and we'll look forward. Hey, I hope we're talking about a Wyoming Cowboys win next week. Why not? Let's have some fun with that.
You never know.
That's why they play the game, man. Cody, appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, Brady. Have a good day.
All right, 36 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I don't know about the Cowboys. They got a good running back. Cody says don't read between the lines, but if to start your press conference like game week, you're kind of like, well, we're young. We're young. Yeah, you think you can win this week? Well, we're young. A lot of big injuries. You know, for this, Buck Coors, the local guy we follow, I don't know how much of an impact he was going to make this year, but he was moving up in the depth chart at that nickel position. So that's a big loss. Sebastian Harsh, as he said, big losses for the Cowboys going forward. So I'm going to go with a no here. Although I did say go under 44. Did Cody say 27-21? Is that what he said, or did I miss that?
Did he go back and listen to it?
Go back into the tapes. Roll the footage. That would be, as they say, over 44 on gel. So we'll see.
So I should take the over?
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Let me ask Tanner, my betting manager.
Well, Tanner's, just ask him and then do the opposite. Just, has it worked out for you yet, or have you even placed a bet yet?
Not yet. Not week zero, maybe week one. We'll see.
Are you betting on the Dolphins, or is that going to be the first?
My teams will not be getting any money from me.
Oh, okay, because you'll jinx them.
That's just the jinx, and I'm watching the score, and I'm not watching the actual game.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear you. Those degenerate gamblers. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to the Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
41 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. Top Text Tuesday, not bad. B-Rad's easily winning this thing. Weld County Swami with a nice text there to keep him in the mix. But I like B-Rad's. I'm going with the Kirk Cousins deal. That was good. So far, you have 20 minutes to get him in. Text the show. Top Text Tuesday gets a $25 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. And you'll also be two wins away from getting the grand gift card from Cables. And we're still confirming, but I got a minimum here, at least $50, maybe $100. That's going to go a long way. So, B-Rad, assuming he hangs on to this, gets a Cables Pub and Grill gift card right now, and then is in the running to win the big cheese from Cables. So fantastic. So we're looking forward to seeing what text you guys throw out for the remainder of Top Text Tuesday. 888-530-0043. That's the First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. The Broncos had to make some cuts. This was a little bit of a shocker for me at this stage, but it happens. So Trey Quinn, the SMU wide receiver, fumbled that kick return. That might have sealed his fate, but then he came back and played pretty well. So I thought, man, he rode out the emotions here. He rode out the roller coaster. He made a bad play, and he could have hung his head and just shut her down. But, you know, you got to thin this out to five or six receivers, and apparently they didn't think he was going to be up to snuff to compete on that depth chart. Joe Schubert, linebacker out of Wisconsin. That's a shocker. You brought him in to try to play, make up for Jonas Griffith, and his name had kept popping up, and he wanted to come to Denver. Denver kind of wanted him, and then it didn't work out. And then Jonas Griffith gets hurt, and they think, okay, let's bring him back. So decided to move on from him. Are you shocked by that? I'm a little shocked by that move this early on. Now, again, he did not look good, though. Linebackers looked out of place in that preseason game. Like, they didn't even look like they knew where they were supposed to go. And so him being a veteran, you kind of wanted to see him lead that. And if he can't provide that and just kind of having more player awareness, then, yeah, what's the point? And you're still hopeful that you bring Jonas back and he's ready to go by the time you hit the preseason. Stevie Scott is the other one. You saw him a lot run the ball for Denver over the weekend. And no surprise to see a running back go. Casey Tucker, a tackle out of Arizona State, gets cut as well. So those are the cuts. They also moved offensive lineman Tom Compton to the reserve, physically unable to perform list. So the PUP list there. He'll be eligible to return in week 5 against the Colts. Those were kind of the bigger names. I mean, I expect it all to be pretty obvious what they're going to do, at least from here on out. Maybe the question now, Zach kind of laughed at this question yesterday, but the question of carrying three quarterbacks, I still think is a question you're asking, because if you're not confident in Josh Johnson, then Brett Rippon might change. I get it. You want to keep that spot open. Shanahan was always kind of famous for carrying two quarterbacks, and then that became a fairly normal thing in the NFL, but I wouldn't be shocked still if Denver decides to hang on to Brett Rippon.
Yeah, I think you'll see what happens. Probably be an open competition in this last preseason game against Minnesota, and whoever wins that gets the backup role.
Yeah, Yeah, that's kind of it. There's some meaning there behind that game. You know, not as much as Pittsburgh's putting into theirs. This is like Super Bowl for these quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. But, yeah, kind of a bummer to see Trey Quinn. I thought he might make this team. But, listen, it is what it is.
He's got 27 more cuts to make.
You got a ton of them to make. Was he going to be there in that? Probably not. Probably not the way this thing's going. So, yeah, I'm getting texts from random people. I can't read half of these texts. Better stay away from that. Well, County Swami, when Joe got cut, is it Schobert or Schubert, Angel?
I believe it is Schobert.
Okay, because I say it wrong every other time, and then I say it right every other time. So Schobert, doesn't matter. I don't have to learn his name anymore. When Joe Schobert got cut, do you think he got a gift card to the Den? Is that just Will County Swami throwing in a Den reference to try to win Top Text Tuesday? What that is? Because that doesn't even does
Do
that make
give
sense?
Out gift cards to that establishment?
I don't. Is that even legal? I don't know, man. Noob, you tell me.
$20 off a dance or something? Like
buy one get one free or something like that. Dancing a side of hash browns or something. I don't know.
You could take a picture with her afterwards.
Oh, God. Well, we're going to hit the under today. Is that the first Den reference of the day?
I believe so.
Wow.
They're warming up.
I'm impressed that we're straining a little bit until the season starts.
Give it time.
Yeah, we'll give it some time. you guys. 47 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Noob. No gift cards, but they take gold cards. Okay, we got to take a break on that note. Does that beat out B-Rad, or is B-Rad still holding on to this thing?
Let's consider this.
We'll still take texts coming in during the break. So let's go. Top Text Tuesday. We've recharged it. It's official. I got a $25 gift certificate up for grabs. Who's it going to be? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Thanks for being with us here today. Hey, I want to make a quick announcement, too. Welcoming back into the programming lineup, starting at 5 o'clock tonight, we are bringing back Brew Talk, that show all about beer, the craft brewery scene, everything. It's going to be two of the usual casts. We've got Chad Young, who owns the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Michael Mosier is the owner of Rule 105 Brewery. They're going to be teaming up with, you've heard him on the Nerd Show here on KFK. Scott Magerflesh will be hosting that program. They have some fun things in store for that show. So 5 o'clock every single Tuesday. And then beginning next week, that'll lead you right into the UNC Coaches Show. So you're going to have a heck of a lineup to promote great entities and great things going on throughout Northern Colorado. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be good.
It's exciting. We're in that last week of deep breath.
Yep.
Here it comes.
UNC Coaches Show begins next week live from the GOAT. So that's great. You'll get to hear the new voice of UNC football, Blake Olson and Aaron Rath out there talking with Coach McCaffrey and other coaches and players throughout that process. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right. We got to name a winner. Right? So here's what I got. I've got the $25 gift certificate right now for the winner of Top Text Tuesday. And this winner is already on their way to winning the big grand prize, at least a $50 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. Maybe more. We're still getting confirmation there. So, got kind of interesting toward the end. I can't read a lot of those out loud, but got really interesting toward the end. I'm going to go with my gut. Angel, I think the board came together. Susan and Cheryl, Angel and myself all came together and decided B-Rad takes the resurging Top Text Tuesday. It's great. It's glorious. It's wonderful. Congratulations to B to the Rad variety. We will have your gift card ready. No, don't put your real name on anything. I'm just going to write B-Rad, and you come to the office, and you say your name is B-Rad, and that's how you get your gift certificate. And he's now in the running. So he's got to win two more of these things, and he'll get the big prize. And then we recharge it. So it never ends until it ends, like we ended it in COVID. But that's the deal. So we're going to see who's going to win this first one. This is a new season of this.
Game on.
Last year doesn't matter. You know, I think a lot of history was made during the first sessions of Top Text Tuesday. You know, Noob was the very first one to ever win three in a row, but it didn't count because we weren't doing prizes at that point. Dixon dominated, as usual. We had Christmas poems written during Christmas season. It was really amazing. What's going to happen this time around? So you got to raise the level of game next week, though. Top Text Tuesday, we'll be back at it. Of course, when? Class, say it with me. Tuesday.
There
we go. I'm just really. How many hooligans are in their car? Like, when? Do you think that's?
Calendar said it's Wednesday.
Next Tuesday. So we're excited for B-Rad. Good job, buddy. Proud of you, man. That was a good one. Creating stuff like goes a long way. Creating a GIF or a meme. He did a meme.
It was a meme.
Okay. I always have a hard time.
GIFs are moving pictures. Not video.
The moving pictures. The moving pictures had a different meaning back then, Angel.
Well, technology just continues to advance in this wonderful world we live in.
So no Kevin Durant. That's done. He's sticking with Brooklyn. It's a done deal. The poll question was over before it started, but we left it up because, dude, I got so many messages on my Facebook page, on our whole show Facebook page. He's staying in Brooklyn, idiot.
Like, gosh, I know. Brady, don't you do your research?
I know, man, but I don't have time to change the poll question right now, and we like it, and people are still voting, so I'm not going to change that up. We're getting traction on it, so why would we change? So I don't think so. All right, it is a big football week. We thank all of our great guests for joining us. Mike Pritchard is talking all things a little gambling with us in the NFL futures. If you missed that, go check it out at theholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Mike Brohard joined us, talk all things CSU. They're not in game week prep, but kind of. They're kind of preparing and setting the tone so they'll be ready for game week prep starting next week. And then Cody Tucker talking about all things Wyoming Cowboys as they are a few days away from their first real game of the season. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.